Now, we are in this series called Created Human, A Theology of the Body. And today we're going to pick it back up by looking in Genesis chapter 2. But I do want to say something about next week before we get started. So if you got The Voice, which is our church newsletter this past week, I put a PSA, a public service announcement in there about next week's service. So y'all know we live in this world full of questions about our identity and sexuality and gender and all of that stuff. And if you're like me, you wonder, like, how do we Christians approach these topics from a place of grace and truth? And so next Sunday, I'm going to wade into that conversation a little bit. We're going to be looking at the Bible and explore what the Scriptures say about God's design for our identity, our bodies, our relationships, and our sense of self. So I want to give you a heads up on that, because for some people that may be a sensitive topic, especially for young children. And so we're going to have a fun activity for the kids. We'll dismiss them about halfway through the service, sixth grade and under. Obviously, we have the nursery for 0 to 4 years of age, but for elementary age kids, we'll dismiss those with our kids ministry team while we talk about this. Now, I promise it's going to be a PG, you know, this isn't like a sex talk or anything like that. We're just going to look at these issues that we're faced in our culture today, primarily around identity and human sexuality from a biblical perspective. What does the Word of God say? What is God's design? And we'll just present that, okay? So that's where we're going next week in the message. So give you a heads up on that. All right, so for today, though, we are going to deal with a topic that some of you deal with every day, and that's the topic of work. So let's dive into our scripture, which will come from Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 5 through 8. And tech team back there, I'm going to end with verse 15. So I'll read verse 15. I'm going to stop it there. We're not going to read all the way through the end of that chapter. So we'll stop there. All right, let's pray before we jump into the message. Holy and loving God, thank you for this day of worship. Thank you for just what we've declared in our worship today about how magnificent and wonderful you are, that you are our Creator God. This world that we live in is the work of your hands. It is your creation, Lord. And God, your word has a lot to say about who we are and how we relate to you. And so in this series, we're just diving into some of those conversations. And Lord, I acknowledge that some of these conversations, like next week, are difficult ones. God, I pray you would help me as I prepare, or continue to prepare, and try to just present what your word says and what Christians have understood for centuries. God, I know that not everybody agrees on these topics. I pray that you would give us a lot of grace for one another and help us to reach some understanding of how we can live our lives faithfully before you. But today, Lord, that includes the topic of work and what we do on a day-to-day basis. So help us to gain a higher view of that as I bring this message today. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, Lord. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 2. I'll begin in the middle of verse 4. Some Bibles put the verse demarcations a little bit differently. And so I'll begin with the full sentence, okay? In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I hope when you came in, you got your sermon note sheet. I'll be following that as I move through the outline of the message today. And hopefully you'll be able to fill in the blanks. If you miss something, this will be made available on our website. Just click on the message tab and click on this sermon series this Sunday in the next, probably tomorrow evening. And you should be able to find this message along with the PDF of this note sheet filled in for you, okay? So last week we talked about two aspects of what it means to be God's image. We talked about dignity and dominion. You know, everybody, regardless of abilities, age, nationality, gender, or anything else, regardless of any of those things, we've been endowed with dignity by our Creator. We all have value and worth. And we also have been given dominion. Now, dominion doesn't mean domination. We unpacked that a little bit last week. But rather, we are stewards of God's creation. We are to work and labor with God as His kind of co-creators in creating a world of beauty and goodness, and to use the talents and the skills that God has given us to make the world a fantastic place to live. And we're going to build upon that a little bit today by dealing with specifically the topic of work, our capacity for work, and how it relates to being God's image. So let me tell you a little bit about my work history. So I started working when I was 14 years old. My first job was for a doctor's wife. The doctor was Dr. Floyd Dyer, and he was a prominent physician in Houston, Mississippi. And he owned a very large estate there in the city limits. The house that they lived in was called Little Graceland because it was modeled after Graceland in Memphis. It was just a little bit smaller version of that. And they had all of these gardens and beautiful wooded areas around their property and a lake and all of that. So I worked for Ms. Dyer, and I was a yard boy. My dad got me the job, and so my chores, or whatever you want to think of them as, is I would come in the afternoons after school, and I would get a lawnmower with a trailer, with some pruners, and all kinds of other things, and I would pick up dead limbs, and trim bushes, and trees, and then haul all that stuff to a rubbish pile. That's pretty much what I did. Now, imagine this kind of job for a young teenage boy in junior high school. I mean, it was quite a contrast to my daily routine. Because, you know, going to school felt like being cooped up. You know, I felt like I was being hemmed in. I always loved being outdoors. And I think it harkens back to my earlier childhood days being raised by my grandmother in the summer times, who would not let us in the house. I mean, if we came in the house, it was because something was the matter, right? Something was wrong. But we stayed, my cousins and I, we stayed outside all the time. So I loved being outside. It was kind of in my bones. And so this was like the perfect job. I mean, I'd be in the classroom all day, having to focus and do all that drudgery of schoolwork. And then I would go and get to be around nature. And I loved that job. I appreciated it so much. So this morning, what I want to do is to help us think about what it means to have a spirituality of work, a theology of work, so to speak. In other words, how does our faith apply to what we do every day in the careers and jobs and professions that we have? And there are basically two big ideas that I want to give you around this morning. I want to explore how they shape our perspective of work through a spiritual lens. So the first one is this. Work is a joint venture with God. So that's your blank there, joint venture. Work is a joint venture with God. Now, what is a joint venture? That's a business term, right? A joint venture is when you partner with someone else for a common goal, for a shared project, and each of you contribute to that project. You share responsibility, and it benefits everybody, both parties. That's a joint venture. So our work has greater meaning because it is seen through a biblical perspective as partnership with God. So our work has a greater meaning when it is seen as partnership with God. Now, wait a minute. You may be sitting there thinking, work? Partnership with God? That makes work sound like a good thing. I thought work was a bad thing. You know, we get up and we have to go to work. I thought work was the result of the fall, you may be thinking. Well, not so fast. I mean, when you go back and look at what the Bible says, the idea of work comes in Genesis chapter 2. And Genesis chapter 2 comes before Genesis chapter 3, which is where we get the fall. So in Genesis 2, the creation story is told, and it mentions how God is like a gardener, one who works the clay of the earth to create humanity and to create everything that exists, all the living creatures and vegetation and everything. God fashions all of that. But God makes humanity special by endowing humans with the image that is portrayed through Him breathing, through God breathing into us the breath of life, sort of in giving us a soul, if you want to think of it that way. And then God takes man and places him in the garden. And Genesis 2:15 says, God places man in the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. So we see that the idea of work existed long before the fall. Adam is seen tilling the earth, taking care of it. And in a way, this is a symbol, a sign to us of all the ways that human beings who are made in the image of God transform creation. Humans work creation to make it even more beautiful and life-giving. You know, I love what Thomas Aquinas, the Catholic theologian who wrote Summa Theologica, big book on theology, and he makes a statement in there that says this: God makes the world indeed good, but doesn't make it finished. It's not finished. And I think the point there is that God's desire is to work with us to make the world this wonderful place full of all the things that we can create with our hands. To do work that benefits creation, that benefits other human beings, that helps people, that takes the resources of the earth and uses creativity and innovation to make things like what we have today, technology and all these advances. You know, this stuff is the work of human hands. One of my best memories of my dad is him working in his garden. My dad loved to have a garden every year. And so I can still see him today in my memories out there running his garden tiller. He would always do it not wearing a shirt. And he was always wearing a pair of cut-off blue jean shorts, you know, with shoes and white socks. I mean, that was him. He's out there plowing, working in the garden. And I love seeing him do that. You know, he would get out there and get hot and sweaty. But somewhere near that garden, there was a tree. And under that tree was a lawn chair. And generally something cold to drink. You know, sweet tea or lemonade or something else. And at the end of the day of working that garden, I could see him sitting under there And what he would be doing is just kind of looking at the garden, just looking out at it, admiring, you know, the work of his hands and what he was able to do. You know, I think about that image of my dad sitting there looking kind of fulfilled in a way, satisfied. It reminds me of when we do an honest and hard day's work, how that can feel so satisfying. I mean, you've probably experienced that. Maybe it's just in the simple task of mowing the grass, and you just sit in the porch and you just look out at the beauty of that manicured lawn. You know, I enjoy that. Maybe it's, you know, you've worked hard to raise your child, and some days you just watch them play. And there's a sense of deep fulfillment in knowing that you have helped shape this person's life. You know, there's a deep satisfaction that comes through our work, that our work has produced something in the world that did not exist before. Our work has made a difference in someone's life. I mean, think about this beautiful sanctuary that we meet in here. I mean, look around at all of the woodwork, the construction. I mean, the chairs that you're sitting in, you know, our version of pews in this service. You know, think about somebody's hands in a shop somewhere, in a factory, took all of those raw materials and put them together. There was a steel mill somewhere where people took, you know, ore from the earth, these raw elements, these minerals, and forged those things. Fabric being woven. Think about where this fabric, the cotton fields and all of the other synthetic pieces to it, where those were fashioned. A person running a sewing machine. I mean, you look at the lights, the technology behind the screens. Think about how many hands have touched the things that we just take for granted. This is only one tiny example of how the value of our work elevates our dignity. Because all of this stuff has come together today, all these hands, all these efforts from other people to provide a space for us to worship God. And so with God, we create and we bring something good and beautiful out of the earth by using our creativity and by engaging it with our energy and our life and our talents. You know, that's a pretty big view of work, isn't it? And kind of connects it to something big. So I want to ask you a question. As you reflect on your own work, for those of y'all, just because you're retired doesn't mean you don't work. Many of you are still engaged very much so in your careers. Some of you are just about to go off and launch into new careers. Some of you have just graduated high school and are about to go receive more training. So hopefully one day you'll have a career, you'll contribute to this world in some way that makes an impact and a difference. So as you reflect on all of that, let me ask you this. How is your work a partnership with God to bring order and beauty into your corner of the world? How does it enhance the life of others so that they can flourish as God desires them? You know, that's something that I think we should all take time to reflect on. Does my work help me to understand how I am connected in partnership with God in the work that He wants to do in the world? Y'all, we aren't just making widgets. We don't just earn paychecks. If that's how you feel about your work, then maybe you need to reassess what you're doing and the work you're doing. I want you to find something deeper in what you do every day. And I think the second point will help us to understand that. And so the second point about how our faith connects to what we do every day is this: Christians find a greater purpose in their work. A greater purpose. That's your blanks. You see, there is a shadow side to work. You have probably heard of the phrase, the daily grind. Y'all have heard of that? And oftentimes that is referring to how our work or what we do on a day in and day out basis is so routine that it is demanding, it's monotonous, and it is tiring. It's oftentimes referred to things that we do on a repetitive basis every day. You know, we may think of our morning commute as a daily grind, or our work in an office behind a computer checking emails is kind of a daily grind. It can be draining on us. And we wonder sometimes, does it matter? Is it making a difference? Does it connect me to anything greater? And so when we talk about the daily grind, oftentimes we say we just got to push through it. We just got to bear it and push through it and try to get to the weekend or something better. It refers to this feeling of getting stuck in a cycle where work feels more like a chore than something meaningful or life-giving. Now, I have to confess that when I was growing up, I often viewed work that way. I mean, I remember as a kid, we'd have to sit and shell butter beans and peas in the summertime. Boy, y'all, any of y'all had to do that? I mean, I resisted that with everything in my being. I'm like, that's work. That's a grind. I don't want to do that. I didn't see how it was, you know, connected to something bigger. And I saw my parents get up every morning at like 5:30 in the mornings, and they would get ready to go to their job. My mom and dad both worked in furniture factories in North Mississippi. And we would get dropped off at my grandma's house, my brother and I, we would catch the school bus to go to school. And so I'd see them get up every morning, drink coffee, drop us off, and go to a job that sometimes I thought was just like the most boring thing ever, working in a factory. And I saw work as less than enjoyable. I did not see how what my mom and dad was doing was providing for me, and how their jobs, even though they may have been repetitive, they had a community of people in those places where they worked. And they had some deep relationships there, and they enjoyed working together, and they supported each other. And they did it because they loved me and my brother. And they were providing for us. And so for them, their work was something bigger than a daily grind. They saw a purpose behind it and how it was providing for all of us. Now, like many people, I think we can fall into that trap, though, of seeing our job as simply just getting a paycheck so we can provide for our needs. And even in my teenage years, that's how I saw work. That it was this transactional type of thing, that it was functional, that I do work, you give me money, and I go live my life. Y'all, that makes our work less than fulfilling. I mean, why would somebody want to get up every day and just do that? And I think that type of work, it undermines our dignity. And this, all of that, I think, is a result of the fall. The way that it mars our understanding of work and keeps us from seeing a deeper purpose. You see, after the fall, God says to humans in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." You see, this verse describes our reality when our work gets separated from a deeper sense of purpose and partnership with God. And when that happens, it can feel like a grind. This is work that creates stress and anxiety in our life. And it refers to, I think, what Dolly Parton is talking about in her song, 9 to 5. Y'all, that's the title of the message today that I put in your bulletin. You know, in 1980, the movie came out, 9 to 5, and Dolly Parton was tasked with writing a theme song for that movie. And so we have this wonderful song, 9 to 5, that y'all are going to sing with me today. You're not? You're going to sing, right? Well, let me just share the chorus with you. I think Brooke, we were singing it upstairs before we came down for the start of the service. She knows it, and Caroline knows it, and Debbie knows it because they sing it in the car all the time. But the chorus goes like this, working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you'll let it. What's Dolly talking about there? She's talking about that grind, right? She's talking about the life or work after the fall. Y'all, as Christians, we need to redeem that. We need to redeem the daily grind. Our work, it can serve a greater purpose. And we can find something sacred in the ordinary tasks that we do every life if we want to. If we want to. Thank goodness that I have matured enough in my life to see value in my work. Work is not the result of sin, but it is part of humanity's original design. It's how God made us with the capacity to work. And in Carmen Ime's book, one I've referred to a couple of times in a series called Being God's Image, she says, God wired us to find satisfaction in our work. Doing good work is one way to express our purpose. So God wired us to find satisfaction in our work. Doing good work is one way to express our purpose. I think we all, deep inside, want to do work that connects us to something larger, to a purpose that is bigger, that is part of God's mission in the world. Now, we know that in today's job market, that young people, you know, those are graduating college right now and moving off into the workforce, they're looking for jobs. They want the ones that connect them to this larger sense of purpose and mission in the world. And if you are an employer or you're hiring people, you're going to have more success in landing good quality young people if you help them to know how what they're going to be doing for you and your company, organization, or whatever, how it connects to the bigger picture, to a greater mission. If you can do that, you're going to have greater success. Now, we see all these companies trying to get a marketing edge, and they're leveraging this type of messaging. I drive a Subaru. Now, don't judge me, but I like my little Subi. I call it the Smurf because it's a little blue Crosstrek SUV. It is a very functional vehicle. It's like a little tank. It'll go anywhere I want it to go, and it's cheap on gas. So I love the Subaru. And Subarus, you know, they have this very creative marketing campaign. You've probably seen it. It's called Share the Love, right? The Share the Love event or the Share the Love campaign. You know, what they're talking about is they are connecting. When you buy a car from them, you're not just buying, you know, a hunk of metal, but rather you are supporting bigger things, bigger mission. For instance, they take a proceed from every car that you buy and they donate it to charities and organizations like, you know, the Cancer Society, or they donate to local animal shelters and communities. That's why they have all these dogs in their commercials and things like that. They donate to food banks. And so you get a feeling that when you buy a Subaru, that you are connected to this greater sense of mission. And it also makes their employees feel real good about working for a company that does good in the world. Now, you may have a bunch of ideas about that, but that's what they're appealing to, though, is that deep sense within us that our work needs to connect to something bigger. Now, y'all are familiar with Tom's, the shoe company, right? Now, Debbie and I were watching John Crist this week. Debbie likes watching John Crist videos, the comedian, the Christian comedian. And so we were watching one of his shows on YouTube this week, and in that, he shared this bit that I found very humorous about what I'm talking about here. So, you know, the mission that Tom's connects us to is this. It says, when you buy a pair, they do what? They donate a pair. It's the same mission that you find in the Bombas sock company. Y'all have seen their commercials. You buy a pair of socks, they're going to donate a pair to a homeless shelter. And so when we go out and we pay $10 for a pair of socks, it makes us feel like we're doing some good through that. Well, John Crist said this. He said, have you ever wondered what happens if you return that pair of Tom's shoes or that pair of socks? Do they go to some remote village like in Haiti and they say, oh man, I'm so sorry, but I'm gonna have to get them shoes back? I mean, wouldn't that be sad? That'd be tragic, wouldn't it? But no, for real though, organizations that tie what they do to a greater mission are more attractive. Point made, right? Some of you here may believe that the work that you do rises to that higher level than just a job. You see your work as a calling, as a vocation. You may be called on a deeper level to a specific type of work, whether it's a school teacher, a stay-at-home mom or dad, a public servant, a carpenter, a police officer, a pastor, or a missionary. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. What really matters is why do you do it? That's the bottom line. Are you just getting a paycheck? Are you just participating in the daily grind of barely getting by? Or are you making a difference in the world? Are you touching people's lives? Are you doing good with the skills and talents that God has given you? Are you making a difference? You see, my calling, or what I do by standing up here before you, grew out of a deeper desire in my life, this sense of call. And the place in me that grew out of was this desire to serve God by serving His church. Now, I know to some of y'all that may sound strange, but I didn't want to just volunteer in the church. I wanted to work in the church because I love the church. It is a place where I can actively live out my faith every day. It's a place where I can help people to grow in their relationship with God. I felt a sense of calling around that. And you may have encountered people whose vocations were chosen because they had an accident and landed them in a hospital, physical therapy, and it was during their recovery that they saw all of these people that were helping to rehabilitate them, and they said, you know, I think I'd like to do something like that. This is meaningful. It's making a difference. Some of you may have found your way into what you're doing for similar reasons. We need to be connected to work that helps us to live with a deeper sense of purpose. But what do you do when you start to age or you have a disability and can no longer do work? How do you find purpose then? Well, let me say this to you. You can live without a job, but you can't live without purpose. Carmen Imes says, perhaps one reason so many North Americans feel a sense of angst about life is that many go through periods of aimlessness. You see, I think she's getting at what I have learned to realize is that you can retire from your job, but you can never retire from your purpose. Purpose is tied to us being image bearers in the world. And sometimes that means that we partner with God for His redemptive purposes, which is to say that we bring His love to bear on our little corner of the world. And we have to help people to find that greater sense of purpose. I love this program in our state that we have. It's called Ability Works. It's part of the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services. And what Ability Works does is it takes people that have had traumatic injuries or live with all sorts of disabilities, and it works with them to develop skills so that they can find meaningful work. In Columbus, there was an arm of Ability Works there, and they employed a lot of folks like this, and they made candles. And they made all these little incense things that you put in the little pots and things like that. The wax melts. And I used to buy those and have them donated to me by people in the church and a guy that worked there. And I always thought about when I burnt those candles and smelt that somebody found meaningful work in creating that. That they found a job that gave purpose to their life. And that created something beautiful for me to experience in a setting in my office when I'm preparing for a sermon. And I oftentimes light a candle here in the office when I'm doing sermon prep, just to remind me of things like that. I love the mission that Ability Works has. And let me close by saying this. Our human capacity for work is not just a necessity, but it is a divine imprint. It is part of what it means for us to be truly human, shaped in the likeness of God, our Creator. For Christians, our work is deeply meaningful because it is seen as partnership with God. And it connects us, it connects what we do on a daily basis to a greater purpose and dignity. Amen. Let us pray. God, I thank You that You have uniquely created each person in this room to make an impact and a significant contribution in our world. That every life has purpose. And that purpose connects us to what it means to be human. But God, we know that sometimes our work doesn't feel that way. And so this morning, I want to take a moment just to pray for those that may be struggling in the work that they're doing. That it may feel like a grind. God, I pray that You would give them a sense of a greater calling in that work. And if they can't bring their faith into that place of their everyday life, then help them to find a place where they can. God, our work needs to make a difference. It's not about the what, but the why. So I pray You would help folks here in this room to live a life of joy a sense of mission in their everyday life. And God, for these students, whether they're graduating college and entering into the workforce, or those that are continuing their education, preparing for work, I pray, Lord, that you would help them find a calling, Lord. A deep sense that they don't have to get up and go punch a clock every day, but they get to do something that they love. And when we have people in our community that are living like that, it becomes a deep, deep well that just has so many wonderful benefits for us. It gives dignity to people's lives. But more importantly, Lord, it is a partnership with you in helping us to taste and see how good life can be when you are our focus and priority. So may we recapture a vision of that in our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us again today. I want to leave you with a benediction from Hebrews chapter 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good so that you may do His will, working among us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you.